Yeah, let's all stand on our feet once you get it. Chloe's way ahead of me standing. No, it's all good. You got it? 1 Timothy 4 started in verse 12. Okay. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so blessed to be together this evening to study your word and to hear from you. We look forward to seeing what you have in store for us, how you're going to speak to us, what we're going to glean from your word, what we're going to grow deeper in together and then also individually. So we pour out our hearts before you. Whatever has been in our week leading up to this, whether it's been really great or kind of a bummer, we lay it down at your feet and we pray that you would speak to us exactly what we need, that we would really meet with you face to face, that we would feel your presence, that as we draw near to you, you would draw near to us as you promise in your word. Let that be this evening. Please fill me with your spirit to speak your word, speak to your people clearly, and let each word that I speak be directly from you to each of us. We love you so much, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So, hold back your tears, grab a tissue, because last week we finished Jesus jargon.
Yes!
At least for the school year, probably for a while. And we aren't going to start a new series until the 7th graders come up here, which is not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. So next Wednesday, 8th graders, is your last Wednesday. So what this means for us is we're kind of like in between series right now. Like, we're sort of in a middle place right now. So it's a good thing. Don't panic. Don't be like, what are we going to do? We're lost. It's okay. Take a deep breath. And just relax, just rest. All of you are approaching a pretty big transition, especially you 8th graders as you enter into high school, but also you 7th graders as you're going to really become the leading age group in Thrive Junior High. Ugh, I know, kind of scary, lots of pressure, but don't panic. Don't have a panic attack, not yet. So what we're going to do with these couple of teachings that we have that are in between series is we're going to focus on some areas of scripture that will help you guys prepare as you approach this new step of growth and maturity. That it's going to get your heart in the right spot, get your mind kind of hopefully a little more ready than it is, and if it's not ready at all, a little bit ready. Because this is a big change, and for each of you, it's a big change. And you may not think that it is. Like, you may be, when I was in junior high, it was like cool to think that nothing is a big deal. Like, oh yeah, meteor shower, pff, seen it. Oh yeah, Grand Canyon, pff, my pool's bigger. Pff, yeah, been there, done that. But it is. It's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And it's huge. It should be huge to you guys too. Soon you freshmen, or you 8th graders that are going to be freshmen, this is a big change into high school. It's that area of life where you become an adult. I thought of that today, and that's weird. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I went into high school as a little baby who like didn't know how to put deodorant on the right way and came out as a man who drove a minivan. Like, what in the world? That's crazy. That is like a big change. In high school, suddenly your grades, that currently really only your parents and your teachers care about, suddenly everyone cares about it. Your high school GPA is what colleges are going to look at when they're taking applicants. It's what internships will look at when they're taking applicants. A lot of your first jobs, you're going to put your GPA and they're going to look at it, and it will maybe determine if you get that job or not. So your GPA starts to matter not just because of your parents or your teachers, but it starts to matter for you and for like goals and dreams and ambitions that you have. You'll start to drive in high school, some of you won't. You'll probably start making your own money, stacking up money in the bank in high school. That's crazy. And then at that point, it's not crazy to go on a date because you have a car and money, and then it's like, it's not stupid anymore to date because you don't need to like ask your parents to like meet at the park or something. It's like an actual opportunity. Whoa, it's crazy. That's a huge change. That's so crazy. But soon, you eighth graders or seventh graders that are gonna be eighth graders, you're gonna go through a big change too, because right now, you seventh graders are not at all ready for high school. I know, I hate to break it to you, but you're not. You're just not. It's cool to think that maybe you could take it on, but you're not. You're not. I know, I'm sorry. But you guys are going to be, in 12 months, ready for high school. So you're going to change mentally, probably a lot physically as well, and spiritually, and you're going to be ready to take on high school, hopefully. Maybe not. But that's the goal, to be ready for high school. And then you guys are going to be, in a week and a half, you're going to be responsible for the tone that is set in Thrive Junior High in the year to come. Yeah, that's on you guys, you seventh graders that are going to be eighth graders. You're responsible for the tone that is set. So you guys are the ones who are going to make the new seventh graders feel welcome. Or you're going to make them feel really uncomfortable and not like this place because all the eighth graders are cold. Hopefully not. That's not what we want. But hopefully it'll be a welcoming environment. And that is up to you guys. Me teaching, I can't make that happen. Our leaders being nice and going out and introducing themselves and trying to get them plugged in can't make it happen. It is on you, eighth graders, seventh graders who are going to be eighth graders. You'll also be the ones who are going to really determine if this is a place where the upcoming seventh graders know that this is a place to pursue spiritual growth, or if it's just a place where they let what's taught go in one ear and out the other, and we're just focused on having fun or getting the teaching done and moving on to the next thing. There's so much about to change in the next couple weeks. And there's a lot of responsibilities that are changing. There's a lot of growth that's about to happen and occur. There's a lot of new things that are going to stretch you outside of your comfort zone. And you have to acknowledge them because they're there. They are right there. So today, we are going to talk about growing up. Yeah. I know. But don't worry, guys. I'm not going to teach you how to like wax a mustache and get you ready for that. No, don't worry. Not physical growing up, but we're going to talk about spiritually maturing and growing spiritually and what that means and what it looks like as well. Paul writes in verse 12 of our passage, "Let no one despise," or really what that would mean is, "think less of you or look down on you because you are young, because you are a youth." So, you've all been in this place. I've been in this place. I'm pretty sure most of you have been in this place where people don't expect a lot from you, or maybe they look down on you. They expect that you won't be able to understand something or do something because you're young. Yes, we've all been in that place. And we love it, right? When someone looks down on us because we're young. Yes, thanks. Thanks for saying how young I am and how unsmart I am and how like unformed my frontal lobes are. It's frustrating. It's annoying. I get frustrated by it. I still get frustrated by it. People will be like, "Oh, you must be 25. And I'm like, "No, I'm 20. And then they go, "Oh, like, why is there something less of me because I'm 20? But I'm ranting. So, Paul says, don't let them do that. Don't let them think less of you because you're young, but be an example to the believers. Notice the word let. It's almost like Paul's saying, we choose that these people are going to look down on us. We choose to let people look down on us. And that sounds crazy. Why would anybody ever choose to let people look down on them? But I don't think he's wrong. And here's why. When people don't expect a lot from us, we end up doing what they expect. And if what they expect is not a lot, we end up doing not a lot. So we end up just fitting the mold that they place on us. So if they say, you're just childish, lazy, immature, your mind can't handle abstract, deep things, instead of proving them wrong, oftentimes we just stay childish, lazy, and immature. It's psychologically proven that when someone lacks support from the people around them, their level of self-efficacy, like the belief that they can do something, lowers. It lowers because they're not supported. So Paul is going to show us 6 ways to reverse this spiritually, not physically. He's not going to show you how to get taller and have like a more barrel chest and like chest hair so that people look up to you, not down. Sorry, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. But we are going to see 6 ways, and we're just going to look at them briefly, that are going to show us how to really display and also pursue spiritual maturity. And then we're going to close looking at how to do it. Y'all cool with that? Yeah, following the plan? It's pretty simple. Track with me. It's going to be good. So the first thing Paul says is in word. In word. The words that you use and the way that you speak. This is the first way that you are going to show and express spiritual maturity. And this is really, it breaks down in 2 different ways. First, what you don't say. What you don't say. So don't use things that really you shouldn't say. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So the first thing is what you don't say. Don't say things that people automatically, because it's different in each culture, are going to label as inappropriate or as offensive or as being a reviler, just tearing people up. Sometimes sarcasm, though it's funny, if it goes too far, it's just offensive or it's just like distasteful, which we don't want. We don't want to be offensive with our words. We don't want foul or abusive language, as it says there in Ephesians. But then it also is what you do say, the words that you do use. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Are you using your words to praise God? So not only avoiding those things that are offensive or rude or labeled as maybe curse words or cuss words or dirty words. Do people still say dirty? Oh, that was so dirty. No?
Yes. Not me.
Yeah? Okay, good. I don't know. I say weird stuff, so I don't know if it's like still what people think of. But yeah, so not just avoiding those dirty things, but using your words to speak of holy things. And to praise God. Do people know when they come in contact with you at church and then also outside that you're in love with Jesus, that you're sold out for him, that you think he's incredible, that you think going to church is not just lame, but that it's beneficial to you now and also for eternity, that you enjoy talking about those things? Do people know it? Do they see, or not see it, but do they hear it in you when you speak of the Lord? So that's the first thing, in word, showing your spiritual maturity and what you say, what you don't say as well, but also what you say, speaking about God, speaking about what God's doing in your life and what, like, yeah, things are hard, but how he's working on you through it. Then the second thing Paul says is in conduct. This is a fancy way of saying the way that you behave. Is your behavior something that makes or that causes people to look down on you because you're young? Or is your behavior something that is going against that? Something that is maybe above what you should be at your age? Are you going against that? Now, this doesn't mean like walking around like, oh, I'm so like boring and lame and I don't run and stuff and I don't like do lame stuff. No, I still like double skip stair steps and stuff. Like, I'm that kid at school where like going up a stairwell, I'm like, that's dumb. But it doesn't mean that we have to be boring and like unamused and lame. What it means is just conducting yourself in a spiritually mature way. So not doing those things that are labeled or that are seen within Scripture and also within the culture as offensive or as unholy or as impure. Having conduct that shows that you're after the Lord's heart, that you are trying to grow deeper in Him. Remember that self-control, the control of yourself, not just seeing something and being like, oh, I need to go do that right now. Having self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Being able to control your desires and your twitches and the things that like you want to do right away, but being like, oh, should I really do that? And this is important. This shows that you are spiritually mature. So acting, your conduct, what's your behavior like? Third, Paul says, in love. Don't worry, guys, it's not the romantic love. I know, like, you guys are really, like, concerned about the romantic stuff. But no, this is agape love. So when we talked about this in 1 Corinthians, this was chapter 13, that agape love, not chapter 7 love, not the marriage love, the agape love. It's the love that Jesus has for us. The love that God had in His heart when He created the world, knowing that they would sin against Him and that He would have to give His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us and that He would have to conquer death. And then even then, some people would not choose Him. It's that love. It's a love that has no boundaries. A love that has no boundaries of what people do, but then also has no boundaries of what people you display that love to. So even if they stink, yes, stinky people are hard to love, right? Can I get an amen? Sometimes it's tough. It's like, man, I'd love to talk to you, but you stink. But still, going beyond that and loving that person, as you grow up, your love for everyone should increase. So it doesn't mean that all of a sudden one day you're perfect and you don't accidentally judge someone because of the way they're acting or the way they look. But it's growing that love for everyone, having compassion for people. Even if you're not close friends or even if they don't really deserve your compassion, going out of your way to show the love of Jesus to them. And then Paul says, fourthly, in spirit. So our spirit is the part of the human that interacts with God. We have the body that is here on earth doing what it does, the soul that is really like tempting and it has our passions and personalities and desires and it gets tempted by the devil as well. That's the part that he interacts with and or demons. And then we have the spirit, and that's the part that talks with God. The part that prays, the part of us that battles against our flesh and our sinful desires. So somebody who is spiritually growing up will have a very active spirit, not a spirit that has complete control of their body and their flesh is like buried in a ditch somewhere and they don't have any temptation, but a spirit that is active. Just like someone who works out, their muscles are active. Yeah, they're not like Arnold Schwarzenegger and super buff and like, what's it called? Mr. Universe?
Yeah.
They're not Mr. Universe, but that muscle, that spiritual muscle is active. So the question to ask would be, how often are you praying? How often are you reading the Bible? Are you battling against your temptations? Sure, maybe you mess up occasionally, but you're battling. Or have you just sort of settled in the sins that you've struggled with and decided to not battle against that sin or struggle in that sin, but to live in the sin? And that's what it means to be mature in spirit. To not allow people to look down on you in spirit is to have a spirituality that's active. You're contacting God regularly. And how do we contact Him? Just by praying. It's so easy, so simple. getting to know God through the study of His Word, through fellowship as well, talking with other Christians about the Bible. And then Paul says, in faith. So faith is composed of two parts. The first part is belief. Do you believe that God came in the form of man, lived a sinless life, but died a sinner's death, and rose again 3 days? Do you believe that? Do you believe the promises of God, that they are yes and amen? To believe those, you have to know them. So to really get faith, you need to be in spirit. You need to be activating that part of who you are. And then you can believe the promises of God when you know them, when you've spent time looking at them, when you've spent time hearing them taught in the study of God's word at church, or maybe from just fellowshipping with other Christians. So do you believe? Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe what's in store for us in eternity? And then second, the second part of faith, and what's important really, what distinguishes it from belief is action. Yes, action. You got to do it. You got to do something. So once we believe those things, we believe the gospel, we believe the promises of God, we must take steps of faith. You need to stake. You need steak because that's protein. But you need to take steps of faith, or there really is no faith. If we say, this is the most like fundamental example, and I hate it, but I'm going to do it. If we say that chair is sturdy and strong, but I'm not going to sit on it because... I believe it. I believe that it's sturdy and strong, but there's no faith. I'm not putting my weight, taking that step of faith to sit on that chair, to believe it. And this is the same way. Taking a step of faith and sharing the gospel with someone, even though they might laugh at you, even though you might be embarrassed, even though they might think you're dumb or weird or not smart, taking that step of faith to tell someone about Jesus, to tell someone about the gospel, believing the promises of God, that even when you're scared, God is there for you, comforting you, that He is the God of all comfort, there, even when things are hard and confusing, that God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Do you believe that? Are you taking the step of faith and loving Him and following Him and His calling that He has placed on your life? And this is what faith is, the action. And the reason the action is so important is James says in chapter 2, verse 17, that faith by itself, it just isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and it's useless. Faith without good deeds is dead. And so we need to be putting action to our faith, to our belief, for it to truly be faith. And then finally, Paul says, in purity. Now, we just covered this last week. Purity is keeping yourself morally clean or blameless for the purpose of being pleasing to God. So part of spiritually growing up consists of fighting to continue in the purity that has been given to us by God. So remember that we don't earn our purity. It's not like some people are more pure than others because Jesus' blood only covered so much and only washed them clean enough because they had that addiction or because they went that far or did that thing or thought in that way for so long. When you come to Jesus repenting of your sin and being washed white as snow, you are washed white as snow. But we still have to maintain the purity. We still have to continue in what He has called us in, for the purpose of being pleasing to Him, to be used by Him in those ways that are honoring to Him. He desires to use us in such incredible ways, but we have to continue in the purity that He has given us. We have to fight against the things in this world that so often, in so many ways, try to pull us away. So this is what Paul is talking about, being spiritually mature and expressing it. And that's what's so important, is expressing it, because so many of you have grown so deep in the Lord in so many different ways. But it's sometimes scary to express it, because it's like, What if I'm the only one who does it? What if I'm the only one who raises my hands in worship? Am I going to look weird? Are people going to think that I'm strange? What's going to happen in that case? Or what if I do take that step of faith and tell someone about the love of Jesus and they laugh at me? Or if they're like an atheist and they really try to argue with me and I don't have all the answers? What if I really decide to turn my life around, the behavior that I'm involved in, and really decide to change that up? Are my friends not going to want to hang out with me because I don't want to listen to that anymore, or because I don't want to do that anymore, or because I don't want them speaking it that way, and I'm not going to speak that way as well? But this is what's so important: expressing the spiritual growth that has been poured into you. So how do we do it? And this is what we're going to close with. Verse 16 says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So how do we do this? We continue. We continue doing as we've always done. The thing about change is when change comes our way, a lot of times we like to change what we do. It's kind of like Peter. When Jesus died, what did Peter do? He went back to his job. He went back to doing exactly what he did before. And we can, like, one, you can read over that and think it's not a big deal. But we can also look at that and say, he went back to doing just the same old, really? So change came his way and Peter just said, okay, I'm going to go back and do what I've always done. And sometimes that's what happens to us when change comes. When change comes, going into summertime, we've maybe gotten on this good schedule of reading our Bibles regularly, of coming to church regularly and discussing the things of the Lord together. We've gotten comfortable being a little more open with each other about what's going on in our lives spiritually. And then summer comes, or then we go to high school. And we just switch everything up because change came our way. And then we lose all of that. We don't lose it. It's still there. But we've ignored it. We've kind of pushed it aside. And so the first thing is you've just got to continue in what has been poured into you so far. If you've spent time in God's Word and have benefited from that, continue. And don't let it just escape your mind like one of those fleeting thoughts that you can't remember. But continue thinking on those things, meditating on those things. Continue holding on to the doctrine of the Bible. And notice how it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Earlier it says, meditate on the doctrine. Now it is not just random chance that we have spent almost every Wednesday this year taking things that are simple and fundamental in Christianity, but going back to the doctrine. We have done that because it's so important. It's so important now for you to be able to understand these things, but it's so important in the future to continue clinging to the fundamental doctrine that is there for us as Christians to understand in the Bible. And so, take it all with you. That is what Paul is saying. Continue. Continue in the things you've learned. Continue learning more. Continue in the habits you've made that are good. And continue fighting the habits that you've identified in your life that are bad. Continue, even in the midst of change. You eighth graders, or seventh graders that are going to be eighth graders, continue growing. Just because this immature group, and let me warn you, okay, people don't... By people, I mean eighth graders, when they become eighth graders, they forget how, like, immature they were when they came up here. But so, just, right? Eighth graders? Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember Nolan. I'm not going to say it, but I remember. I'm going to say it. And one time, Nolan came up to me, and he was like, oh, these kids are so immature. It was like the third week they were up here. He was like, he was looking in the room like this, like having a midlife crisis, like, what? What do I do with this? And so, just because this group of pretty immature people are coming up doesn't give you the opportunity to put your growth on pause and stop because there's people around you that aren't as mature in the Lord as you are, or aren't as displaying their maturity as you have begun to do. Continue doing it to set that tone in this room that they know this is a place where we desire to have fun, but first and foremost, to thrive, to grow deeper in the Lord, to
read His Word and not just hear it, but apply it. And then you, soon-to-be freshmen, you have grown so much in the course of this year, in the course of junior high, and it would be such a shame to, as we go into high school and you start back on kind of the bottom of the totem pole, to do that spiritually, to say, oh, I don't need to pursue as much maturity, or I don't need to show myself mature in Christ because people don't expect it of me, because I'm a freshman, because I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. Don't do that. If you're not aware of it, it can happen so easily and so naturally, but don't let it happen. Leave this place running after the Lord stronger than you ever have before, with a deeper passion, letting it grow further. If the sophomores aren't as mature as you are because, you know doctrine like crazy and you've been studying the word of the Lord and growing deeper in it, don't just say, okay, I don't need to grow anymore. Continue growing. Continue challenging the high schoolers. Continue being a part of discipleship and growth and doing it with all that you are. It's so important and it's so necessary. And that is why Paul says, don't let, it's a choice, don't let anyone look down on you or think less of you just because you're young, but be an example to the believers, the ones who are older than you and the ones who are more mature than you as well. Be an example. You can do it. I know you can. I believe you can. Your leaders know you can. This is why they're here, because there's so much potential in each and every one of your lives to impact your future, but then also the future of the world around you. So this is our first takeaway as we approach so much change. Continue pursuing maturity in the Lord. It's so important, and continue displaying it each and every day. Let's pray, and then we're going to go into small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by your desire that you are a jealous God. And what that means is that you want to spend so much time with us. You want everything we practice and everything we grow deeper in to be you. You desire everything that we are. So help us to do that. Help us to make good habits and continue them in them, and help us to continue fighting our bad habits. And we pray as change comes our way, entering summertime and then moving up into a new grade, that none of that would go away, but that we would do all that we can to continue growing deeper in you, to set the tone of this room for the year to come, and to go into high school ready and able to receive all that is there to grow in the high school years. We love you so much. We pray that you would be in our small groups time and be in everything we say and do. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. So head to small groups. Got a few questions for y'all. Don't cry.